Welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Friends, Kevin Swanson is with you today as we talk about something very near and dear to my heart, and that is the development of the family economy. The family economy has existed since the beginning of time. It virtually disappeared, though, over the last 50 or 60 years, in which people have seen themselves more as individuals rather than as families. The idea of economy was a word that came out of oikonomia, two Greek words, indicating the vision of the family, or the law of the family. Nomia is law, and oikos is family. And we talk about the family economy all the time in this program, because without the family economy, you begin to see a fragmentation of the household. But here's the question I want to ask today, is how does a young man prepare for his own family economy? That's where my son is right now. He's breaking out from my economy. He's been working with me for the last 10 or 12 years, and now he's working his own family economic concepts, and it's a period in which he leaves and cleaves. And so we want to talk about different aspects of developing the family economy for the young man. And today, Ryan Marks joins me, and we're going to start with his recent book that he's written, Multiple Streams of Income, the principle of Ecclesiastes 11:1-6. And he joins me now from Missouri, from his hometown in Missouri, on the Generations broadcast. Ryan, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me, Kevin.
You know, it's great to see you engaging at all these different levels. You've got a great website. I've looked at your website, and you've got a lot of resources there right now. I'm going to target right now your book called Multiple Streams of Income, something you just released late last year. But let me ask you, first of all, how did you start to develop these streams of income yourself? How did the vision for your own economy develop?
Well, I guess you kind of always have, growing up, the vision, the plan kind of instilled in you that you're going to enter a corporation environment, that you're going to get a job, and that's going to just kind of be how you provide for your family and live. And it actually was kind of an accident for me to get into entrepreneurship. When I graduated high school at 17 as a homeschool student, that year me and my family would be traveling about a month over the course of the summer. So I didn't really think that it would be fair if I did find an employer to really work for them. I'd be traveling so much. And so I just started my own company that summer, and from there it's continued to grow. And I've not only looked in service businesses like lawn care, but also looked to being able to have some of those more passive streams of income through writing and affiliate marketing type things.
How did you develop these focal points? Did it have something to do with your giftings? Did you have to step back and say, okay, where did God gift me here?
Well, for me, writing and speaking was never something I really pictured myself doing.
Huh, okay.
But in high school, the Lord, just as I was in prayer and as He opened doors, I was in a ministry similar to Boy Scouts called Royal Rangers. And my leadership, the men over me, had placed me basically leading the group every Wednesday night. And from there, I was sharing devotions and organizing events and writing materials. And it just kind of grew from there as a burden that I saw the Lord had led me to do. It's not something I was formally trained in.
I'm wondering if it has something to do with older people in your life, your parents, the leaders in your church, looking at you and say, I think you've got a skill here. I think you've got something that you could share here. I wonder if it has something to do with others as well as your own self-examination.
Yeah, I definitely think that it has a lot to do with my parents and all that they've taught me, and also several of my mentors, just as they've instilled things, especially in the area of speaking and writing. One of my mentors is a pretty good blogger. He's been doing that for a couple of years, and the other is actually an author who ghostwrites and done about me projects. So I learned a lot from him.
That's neat. Wow. How old are you, by the way, Ryan?
I'm 19.
Okay. Wow. You've got a good start on things already. When did you start developing your own streams of income? How old were you?
I was pretty much 17 when I got out of high school, is when it really started.
Okay. Got it. And at this point, what are your streams of income?
Well, at this point, I still have a service-based business, which encompasses power washing to web design to lawn care.
Okay.
And Then I have some eBay and Amazon sales, some affiliate marketing, and then the books. And that's the main streams. There's several smaller.
Right, right. But, man, you have written a bunch of stuff already. I'm pretty impressed with the quantity of things out there. And is there a focal point on your writing, or do you just write on things you're interested in, or how do you identify your subjects for your writing?
Well, the overall purpose is to ground everything that I write in Scripture somehow. I was raised with the conviction that everything we believe somehow needs to be rooted in Scripture. So if it's not, then we need to throw our belief out, not the Scripture. So I try to write from that perspective, and then I just try to follow the Lord as He leads in prayer, whatever the specific topic is to work on. And a lot of the things I've written are just really articles that appeared in a monthly devotional email that I've been doing for about 3 years. So it's not all real lengthy material, but I try to write from a perspective of more of a conversationalist tone than academic. So for me, writing is not more of a chore. It's more of kind of sitting down and kind of picturing myself talking with a small group or talking maybe across the table with a young man on how you would apply doctrine or how you would look at a specific issue.
What's your audience at this point, Ryan? Do you have, is it young people? Is it older people? Is it families?
It's really a combination of all. At this point, I do try to focus my personal time, though, working with young men. But it does seem the older audience seems to be, at least at this point, who is following stuff.
Okay. Now, your book, Multiple Streams of Income, ties in biblical principle to the idea. And by the way, I like the idea. I use it all the time in our conferences. I don't want people to think that a family economy has to be held down to a single stream of income.
Right.
If that be the case, it would be very, very difficult for lots of families to involve their kids because, you know, dad's working a very specific, knowledge-intensive, talent, skill-intensive form of work, and he can't include the rest of his family in that stream of income. At one time, a lot of families were agrarian, so that, you know, you had a single stream. You know, you went out there and you grew your crops and you went out and all the kids picked the vegetables or the fruit or whatever, and that was your stream of income. It was a farm. But that's gone away. And so as I see it, the modern age, it becomes increasingly important for us to develop multiple streams of income. And I think, you know, maybe even in an agrarian sense, they would develop multiple streams. I, you know, talk to farmers and yeah, they're growing other, different things. Sometimes they're developing or working on other products, perhaps. You know, sometimes they take some of their products and they form them into something else. So, you know, even the farming community, I think they develop multiple streams. But boy, I see this as really critical for any kind of family economy. You've got to develop multiple streams, generally speaking.
Yeah, I would totally agree, and I think it's so critical for young men as we're trying to look forward with a vision, and I know that your broadcast and several others as well have really been pushing that vision, and I think some men are grabbing it, specifically some young men. But as we look at that, it's more than just having one business, and it's more than just looking at one stream of income. It is more than just getting the house debt free. There needs to be a vision beyond that. So whenever I talk to young men, I try to cast a vision, you know, from Scripture. One, Scripture tells us that all Scripture is profitable. It's worth not necessarily monetary value, but it has lessons we can learn from it, whether it's through practical applications in our life, whether it's through serving, whether it is through a business endeavor. It is profitable when we apply it. But secondly, we see the multiple streams concept really all through Scripture, and as you mentioned, through about 5,110 years of history. We see that. We see Jesse, we see Job, we see Abraham having not only their sheep, but having their donkeys and their camels. And yes, we see they also have some monetary wealth in terms of gold and silver. So I think as we look at the term multiple streams of income, we have to approach it from the perspective that this is not a secular idea that came about within the last 40 years or 50 years. It's something that God actually wrote about, and he instilled in the hearts of men that were following him, even back 5,000 years ago.
Here's the classic text that you refer to in your book. Give a portion to 7, also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. I think that's from Ecclesiastes 11, 1 to 6. So it is important to diversify. It's also important, I think, for people to realize that this idea of giving a portion is not just the quid pro quo, you know, out there in the business world. This is also ministry. So part of our lives involves ministry as well. And as Christians, I think we need to remember that.
Exactly. And the perspective I take in the book is that when we look at this passage, we have to look deeper than just thinking about it from a perspective of I'm going to have a business or I'm going to make money. We need to look at it from the perspective of are we really going to cast our bread on the waters? Because there's many income streams and even many giving streams that have nothing to do with money. It can be time. It can be serving. It can be investing through discipleship. And that can have implications on your business and on serving your local church and giving. So I think that we need to look at it from that perspective. I mean, so often in the secular world, it is, let's just figure out how to make more money.
Yeah.
But if we approach it from that perspective, we're going to miss it.
Well, and here's another thing, I think a benefit when a young man applies himself in 3 or 4 or 5 different arenas over the 85 to 90 waking hours, Monday through Saturday, and we've got all that time, 85 to 90 hours, during that period of time, he can get involved in 3, 4, 5, 6 different endeavors, whether it be education, ministry, or work, quid pro quo type of work. But here's the point I want to make, is as a young man, then what happens is you begin to hone various aspects of your talents. You begin to invest various aspects of the talents that God gives you. And a lot of times what happens is you begin to identify the areas in which you are strong. But if you weren't out there trying these things, you know, exercising these muscles, you'd never really identify your talents.
Yeah, exactly. I just remember, again, the proverb that mere talk leads only to poverty, and that's many times what our educational model today focuses on. Let's just talk about things. But when you actually get out there, all your labor brings some type of profit. I mean, I've had multiple jobs as well in the more corporate world. I've had an office job, and I've worked with a construction company as well. And through all that, I've learned skills, not necessarily enjoying everything that I had to do, but all of it had some type of profit, whether it was through character or connections or just skills that you learn in life that can be applied in many ways.
Well, Ryan, I'd like to encourage folks to check out your website. It is focusingonthemarkministries.com. Focusingonthemarkministries.com. Ryan Marks, out there getting his feet wet and developing his own streams of income. Anything else you'd like to share, Ryan?
I think the only other thing I'd like to say is to encourage all young men and also the families listening that it is possible to get started. But as you get started thinking about multiple streams, both in giving and in business, the family economy, approach it from a perspective of asking the Lord what he wants you to do. Because in my experience, if you approach it from just trying to get stuff done, many times you get caught up in just some anxieties and struggles of life that the Lord really didn't mean for us to get involved in the first place. So approach it from the perspective of, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then just be obedient. And it's amazing how the Lord blesses us.
Folks, Ryan Marks, written a book called Multiple Streams of Income, The Principle of Ecclesiastes 11:1-6, and you can access some of Mark's stuff at focusingonthemarkministries.com. Ryan, thanks again for joining us on Generations.
Well, thank you for the time.
And we'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us, friends. More to come.
How's that commercial coming along?
All right, guys, well, we're about ready to record it right now.
Okay, so how's it go again?
Let's see. It's Whole Family's Welcome, and there's Sing Sing something something. 94 Talks, lots of vendors. Sing Sing, Talk 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 Sing, and then the big finish, Rocky Mountain Super Conference on the Family. Wow. Let's hear it.
All right, quiet on the set. Here we go.
Whole Family's Welcome. Sing Sing, something something. 94 Talks and lots of vendors. Sing Sing, Talk 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 Sing.
All right, here's the big finish.
Rocky Mountain Super Conference on the Family.
Wow. It's just like you said. Hey, glad you liked it.
When is it?
June 12th through 14th.
And where do you go to sign up?
It says check.org. That's chec.org.
Thanks. I think I'm going to go sign up.
And we are back on the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. As today we talk about young men launching into their own family economies, getting a piece of the macroeconomic picture themselves. And not always easy. My son's in the process of doing that. And today, Micah Cooksey will be joining us. He is a young man who got his bachelor's fairly early in life. And he's always had an entrepreneurial edge. And now he's working for an organization called TeamTreehouse.com. And Micah now joins us on the broadcast. Micah, welcome to the Generations Radio broadcast. It's good to have you with us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Now, talk a little bit about your story, Micah. You're 20 years old right now.
That's right.
And yet you got started pretty early on, which with your bachelor's degree. That's pretty impressive. You got it before you were 20 years old. What happened?
My mom read a book by Brad Bowler, and I'm sure that a lot of homeschoolers have read the book, but just, about kind of thinking outside the box in terms of college and not just mindlessly going off for 4 years to brick-and-mortar college and paying tens of thousands of dollars acquiring student loans and all that. Mm-hmm. And so I think it just kind of encouraged her to start thinking creatively about how her kids would go about getting college degrees.
Mm-hmm. So you got your bachelor's degree when?
I graduated when I was 16.
Okay.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
You must have started early, like 14.
Yeah, it actually took me about 4 years. So I started when I was 12, almost 13, and
okay.
Then kind of took my time really, and was able to get it in about 4 years. Yeah.
And then you got a master's degree at 18.
I did, yes, and it was more of a seminary-related online master's.
I see,
so,
okay.
Yeah.
Are you interested in ministry or, for right now, the market?
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in ministry long-term.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's just a kind of a way for me to feel like I'm definitely being a part of God's work with my life and just being able to focus on that full-time.
Yeah.
At this point, I'm thinking about overseas missions.
Okay.
So.
But for now, you're launching into an economic venture. You've always been an entrepreneur. What does that mean?
I think my parents have kind of just encouraged me to learn how to be a hard worker and just had that mindset growing up. So I think it started by making homemade wooden birdhouses and trying to sell them to the neighbors.
That's how a lot of guys start.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about birdhouses.
Yeah.
But anyway, then from there, I kind of went into more of like a, neighborhood lawn service, pushing my mowers down the sidewalk to nearby houses and making money that way and learning how to have my own business, which is, I think is a great way for a lot of young men to kind of learn those skills that go along with that. And then it just kind of evolved from there. I did some freelance web design work for local businesses and then did that for a few years. I really enjoyed most of it. It just ended up being the thing where I was having trouble having steady work. And so I decided that it was a good time to look for more steady work and just go ahead and get a full-time job at a company that I enjoyed. So.
And we need to underscore the fact there's nothing wrong. There is nothing wrong with finding a good experience in a corporate structure somewhere where you can get decent mentorship. You can be challenged. You can learn a little bit of the ropes. There's too many young men that rely entirely upon entrepreneurism, but they're not quite prepared. They aren't quite ready. They don't understand the market well enough to create a good entrepreneurial business. And I think, I appreciate what you're doing because this idea that you know, every young man is cut out for entrepreneurism is not a good one. Now, what I did is I got my degree and I started in the corporate track and stayed there for about 12 or 13 years, worked my way up the corporate structure, and then I jettisoned from there into ministry and my own businesses. And I did that, I think, at 34 years of age.
Okay.
So you know, I think we ought to let folks know that every track is different, and there are some benefits to getting out there under an experienced mentor in any business that's well established and learn the ropes. I think that's a really good plan, and appreciate what you're doing. Are you learning something in this experience?
I am, yeah. I initially, when I joined the company, I started working for their sales department and just, you know, learning about cold calling and just picking up the phone and calling people out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't necessarily my favorite job ever, but it was definitely a good experience building about, you know, not being afraid of being told no and kind of persevering through failure until you find success by, you know, calling the fifth person and finally finding someone that'll say yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that was good experience building. And then I recently, as of November, moved to their marketing team.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely enjoy marketing a lot more because I feel like it's definitely more creative and involves a lot more thinking. It's not nearly as repetitive and it involves a lot more problem solving and just kind of feeling like you have the freedom to make decisions that you know will impact the company.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a great learning experience.
And what is this organization, TeamTreehouse.com?
Yeah, so TeamTreehouse.com, they typically just kind of go by Treehouse.
Mm-hmm.
But they started because the founder, Ryan Carson, realized that it was really hard for people to get an adequate tech education, specifically within the sub category of like learning how to be good at web design and web development.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had a computer science background and he had done some industry conferences, things like that. But he started Treehouse to just create a service where anyone who wants to learn how to code can go to the website and sign up for a few months and learn to be good at coding.
Really? Wow. So it's almost an alternative to college. Is it cheaper? Is it more efficient? And what are the sales points on this?
Sure. And that's one of the things that Treehouse has been pitching lately is that you can learn by paying, you know, $25 a month and learn in 6 months what you are supposed to learn in 4 years and for, you know, $100,000 at a traditional college through computer science degree.
That sounds like a pretty good sales pitch.
Yeah. No, it's a pretty effective cost comparison, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and you know, we work on making it interesting to learn and the whole point is to have fun while you're learning and not just think of it as boring coursework.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. What a great opportunity for lots of folks, including yourself. Any other plans for the future?
Yeah. You know, even though I'm really glad to be working for Treehouse right now, and I think it's a great learning opportunity. Long-term, I really feel like God may be calling me to ministry, specifically overseas missions.
Right.
And I actually, from ages 3 to 13, I grew up on the mission field in Japan.
Oh, really? And I didn't know that. I grew up on the mission field in Japan as well.
Yeah, I think I've heard that before, so that's really interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
Can you speak in Japanese? Nihongo?
A little bit.
Okay. Okay, nobody knows what we're talking about right now, but just launching a little Japanese, a couple of MKs, recalling some of their Japanese. So wow, yeah, you know, I think I got the ministry bug growing up on the mission field. I think that was part of why I wound up in ministry myself. But yeah, you know, one of the things that had to happen to me was maturity, you know. I had to get into the macroeconomy. I had to make a living. I had to get married, you know. So
right,
it's all part of it. You know, I got to make some money. You know, can't just live on love. You got to, you know, you have to have a few bucks. And, so that was part of it for me was I wanted to make a decent living. And, but my goal was eventually to launch into ministry. But I felt like I needed, you know, a little bit of that security from my wife. I also needed to pay off a house as far as I was concerned. And then I took the flying leap off the corporate ladder at, as I said, 34 years of age.
Okay.
You may not have to wait that long, but is part of your plan to to make something of a stable living in order to get married?
Yeah, that's a big part of it. Since I feel like I should wait until I'm married and have had a chance to kind of get settled in before just moving off to Africa or wherever I may go, I think it's a good place to kind of like you were talking about, just develop some savings and become financially stable first. And so, yeah, it can be hard to get married if you're flat broke. So that's kind of my strategy for now.
Right, right. Well, let me ask you this. If you had a something to say to the hundreds, if not thousands, of young men, 18 to 25 years of age, that are listening to the program right now, what have you learned about launching into life that you wish you could share with others?
Well, you know, one thing I think that as someone who's done freelancing or entrepreneurship and working for an established company, it seems like, you know, there's so many great teachings out there about how homeschool young men can work for themselves and work out of the house and avoid, you know, all of the indoctrination and bad influence that can come from working for a company outside of the house. So I think it's definitely really important to learn how to work for yourself and just see how that works and have experience building your own company. But I think that at the same time, a lot of homeschool young men are too averse to working for someone else.
Yeah.
And I think that it's kind of sometimes even seen as like, you know, you don't do that. That's not something that is biblical or should be encouraged. So I think it's good to learn how to work for yourself. I think it's probably the advice that I would give a lot of younger men that are kind of just growing up in life. But I think it's important also to just realize that God really may lead you to work for an established company later on in life.
Very well said. That balance is really critical, really critical. And I hope that we are able to maintain that balance through our ministry work, through the radio shows and the family economics conferences, because I think sometimes we get the wrong message out there. And here's another thing, Micah. I hope, I pray, and I wish from the bottom of my heart that people who are working the corporate track do not despise the entrepreneurial guys. And the guys who at this point are working the entrepreneurial track do not despise those who are working the corporate track. There has to be some respect for one another in the process. There are benefits to both sides of it. And here's one of the benefits to starting out on the corporate track. You get familiar with the territory. And so many young men are circumventing that, and I don't think that's healthy. So I'm agreeing with you. I think that's a very important point to make. That number one, do not despise one another. You know, God gives different gifts to different people, but number two, there's benefits to both sides of this, and certainly young men need to understand that there's a benefit to getting experience out there in the corporate world, and they should not despise that. So, Micah, thank you so much for joining us and sharing with us. And if folks are interested in this sort of alternative approach to learning how to do web programming, it's the Treehouse program. And the website, again, is teamtreehouse.com. Teamtreehouse.com for Micah Cooksey's program there. Micah, thanks for joining us on Generations. We appreciate you.
Okay, thank you, Kevin.
This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.